22, I'm going to start reading verse number 63, guys, so toward the end of the chapter. Luke 22, verse number 63. The Bible says there, "And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. When they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these guys being here. Lord, thank you for them being in your house, Lord. There's no greater place to be than in your house, Lord. God, it's where you want us to be. It's where you command us to be. But God, it strengthens us. It encourages us. It helps us, Lord, if we're thinking that it's not worth it anymore, Lord. I'm thankful that we get to come to your house and be refreshed. And God, to just get our minds back on track to realize that it is worth it to serve you. And God, everything that we do for you is not in vain. And it's not a waste of time, Lord. It's worth every moment that we serve you and that we put you first. God, I pray you bless this time today. Please give me the right words and thoughts and spirit. God, connect your truth to these guys' lives, their hearts, Lord, and God, get a hold of them and show them the next step that they need to make. I pray you would please do that today. God, I pray you'd please help me, and God, help me just to get this across in a way that's understandable, but a way that challenges us to be what you want us to be. I pray that we'd hear your voice through the preaching, God. Help the weight of your truth to lay heavy on our hearts, Lord, that we'll know what your word says, and God, what we need to do about it with your help, Lord. I pray you'd bless the rest of our time in the class today, Lord. We need your touch. Please make us more like you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you guys for standing. Guys, we arrive at this passage where Jesus has already been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and now he's on trial. We call them these trials. Jesus had six of these different trials that they put him through, but they were really mock trials that they put him through. Why do I say that? Because they were trying to come up with some sort of reason to put to death the sinless Son of God. Think about that, guys. He never sinned. He never committed a crime, but they're trying to come up with some sort of reason and justification to execute him. We know that Jesus never sinned, that he never did anything wrong. He never did anything worthy of death. But really what these people were after, the chief priests, the Sanhedrin guys, they were jealous of him. They hated him. They were envious of him. And they kind of felt like he was taking over their power, taking over their business, that they were in charge of the religious scene in Israel. And now Jesus comes up and people are following him. And they got a little jealous of that. That's really what the issue was. Yet, guys, we see in this passage what he took for all of mankind. And it's amazing what he did. Guys, if we were to take a panoramic view of our world today, it's very apparent to me that the values and the priorities of people reside in so many places that they don't belong. Okay? What I'm saying by that is people care about stuff that's really not that important. Okay? You know what most of the world is after, guys? It's after money. It's after prestige, after a reputation, after possessions and stuff, acceptance. They want to have a lot of people like them on social media and what they put up. They want to get this stuff and that stuff, and the list goes on. They want to get the latest electronics, the latest shoes, the latest possessions, and the list goes on and on and on and on. You know, sadly, though, many so-called Christians are no different. If you were to look at their life and the list of priorities, how their life stacks up, they're no different. They care about these same things, money and prestige and all these things that we listed out. Many of the same things would make up the stack of importance in their lives, their priority. Guys, can I tell you, this is not the way it should be.
Right.
He deserves better than that.
Right.
Jesus deserves better than that. Listen, what I'm saying today, if your life is all about what people think of you, getting the girls' attention, making your friends laugh, Or all these kind of things, just having fun. Listen, we can enjoy some of these things in their rightful place. But if these things are out of whack, can I tell you, Jesus deserves better from you and he deserves better from me.
Right.
And you say, why is that? Because of what he took for you. And what I want to preach, it's simple. It's not going to be anything that you don't know, I don't think. But guys, it hopefully will be challenging to all of us. And I want to preach this. He took that for you.
Amen.
He took that for you. Let's read these verses again. I want you to look at it. Everybody have the Bible open, looking at these verses, verse 63 through 65. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. When they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. Listen, we preach about the cross very often, and we should. We should. We should emphasize every aspect of it, the beating that he took, the spitting, the mocking, the cursing that was hurled his way, and the crown of thorns and the cat of nine tails and all that. Can I tell you guys, though, this is before he ever even got to the cross. Hey, guys, he took this for you. This is not a famous moment. This is not a moment that's talked about very often. But this is just a snapshot, just a small thing. And guys, can I tell you, listen, we talk about it a lot. We preach about it a lot. We deal with it. Brother Todd, I always think about around Easter time. You know, that's a natural thing. We talk about the cross, the blood that was shed, and all that, as we should, as we should. But guys, can I tell you, we just know we are just scratching the surface on all that Jesus took for us.
Right.
And this is just a little snapshot, just a little incident, occasion that happened. And to me, it screams this thought. He took that for you. He took that for me. I want to get into this today. He took that for you. First of all, guys, I want you to see there's a twisted reality. There's a twisted reality. What do I mean by that? Well, guys, you read these verses. It says they're holding Jesus. They're mocking him. They're smoting him, which is they're hitting him. They blindfolded him. They put a blindfold around his eyes, over his eyes, and they would strike him on the face. They'd smack him and hit him. And they would ask him, saying, prophesy. You know what these guys are doing, guys? They're mocking him and say, oh, you say you know everything, you have all knowledge? Then why don't you tell us which one just hit you? That's literally what's going on. And Jesus is just sitting there taking it. Guys, it's a twisted reality. What I mean by that is this. This picture is backwards. This should not be the case. Hey, guys, this should not be happening. Something's off. Something's wrong. This should not be happening to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? This should not be happening to the God of the universe. Listen, this is Jesus they're doing this to. Don't get it mistaken. He's sitting there and they're beating him. They're mocking him. They're spitting on him. They're making fun of him. Guys, he's just sitting there taking it. They wouldn't be alive without him. There wouldn't be a universe without him. Everything that we have, everything that we see is all because of his power. And Brian, he's just sitting there taking all these insults. Wow, this shouldn't be happening to him. And guys, the shame. I'm talking about, this is humbling. Kevin, I wouldn't want to go through this for anybody.
Yeah.
This is humbling. This is humiliating. This is embarrassing. This is lowering yourself. This is the indignity. Listen, the Bible talks about, guys, that his visage, his face was so marred, so disfigured, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Guys, if you would have seen the body of Jesus Christ when it was hanging on that cross, it wouldn't even look like a human being anymore.
Right.
Yeah. It was so messed up, so disfigured. Why did he do that? He did that for you.
Amen.
He did that for me. This is a twisted reality, though. It shouldn't be happening to him. The shame that he went through. And can I tell you, there's a stark contrast here. There's a song that I've heard before. The words are powerful to it. It says about these incidents here in relation to them. It's saying those that were beating him, those that were mocking him that day, it's as if, guys, they looked at him as he hung there on that cross that day, and they would think, you know, this guy, judging by the clothes that he wears, he doesn't own a thing. But it says, little did they know that day, as his blood came streaming down, he owned the sun, the stars, and the moon. He even owned the ground. Guys, that's true. He's hanging on that cross. These people think, this guy owns nothing. This guy has no importance. This guy's a nobody. Can I tell you, there would be nobody without this guy.
Right.
He owns everything. Listen, that song is true, guys. He owned the sun, the stars, the moon. He even owns the ground that we walk on. It all belongs to him. That's the God that we serve, but this is a twisted reality. Can I tell you, you look at these verses, and if you're thinking right, something doesn't sit well. Something doesn't seem right. You read these things, you think, this shouldn't be happening to him.
Right.
It's a twisted reality. Secondly, though, there's terrible ridicule. Hey, we've read these verses a couple times, but it talked about they mocked him, they smote him. Hey, guys, can I tell you the torture and the taunting that he went through? Guys, was beyond anything that we've ever gone through. They had spite. What that means is they had hatred behind it. Can I tell you, I believe these are people in the Sanhedrin and some of the temple guards and officers that they had, kind of like we would think of like a security guard type of thing. But can I tell you, between this incident and then those that happened with the Roman soldiers as Jesus was crucified. Guys, get this. Not only did they put him through just misery physically, mm-hmm.
Brother Tuck, they enjoyed it.
They made a joke out of him. Guys, can I tell you that whole incident with the crown of thorns and the purple robe they put on Jesus' back? That was just to make him a puppet. That was just to make him a joke. Guys, he took that for us. He didn't have to take it. But the terrible ridicule. They hated on him. There was a venom that was spewed out. There was cruelty that was unleashed. They went above and beyond their duties. They enjoyed what they were doing. That's sick. That's sick. This is terrible ridicule. The spite. They smote him. They struck him. They slandered him. Guys, it talks about they blasphemed him in verse number 65. To blaspheme means to insult. It means to disrespect. It means to disgrace. And the one that really hits home to me, it means to drag through the mud. Something that is serious, something that is holy, is treated light and frivolous. Hey, guys, they treated him. We know how we should treat God. We should worship him. Hey, we should honor him. We should lift him up. They're treating him like nothing. They're treating him like dirt. The terrible ridicule, the spite, and the smoting that he took. And guys, they think they're slick with this. As I've already told you, they would blindfold, put a blindfold over his eyes, smack him, and then say, hey, which one of us hit you? You say you can know all things. You say you can tell the future. Tell us. Tell us. Guys, they want some magic trick. They want some show. They want some amusement. They want some entertainment. They want to laugh at him. Guys, listen. We know this stuff. I'm not teaching you anything today. I don't think that you don't know. But can I tell you, we need to be reminded of this. I need to be reminded of this.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, this is the whole Christian life right here. This is what it's all about. Hey, guys, do you love Jesus like you should? When we read these things, does it break your heart what he had to go through? It should. It should. We shouldn't be in church for so long that we just get over this stuff. It shouldn't just that we go through the motions. Yeah, I know all that. Guys, it's not just about gaining a bunch of knowledge. I'm all for learning, and we need to learn. But don't forget what it's all about. Don't forget, if not for that Savior getting up on that cross, we would be in hell today, right now, burning forever. They thought they were slick. And guys, the sheer number of this, verse number 65, and many other things blasphemously spake they against him. Many other things. You notice that? Guys, they did and said many other things. Jaden, you know what that tells me? There's a lot of stuff the Bible doesn't even mention that he had to go through.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, just these couple of verses, it turns my stomach what they did to Jesus. It makes me mad.
Right.
It upsets me. But can I tell you, this is just a small part of all that he went through. Hey, guys, for you. Hey, pay attention today. Don't be falling asleep. If Jesus took all this for you, I think you can pay attention.
Amen. Right.
The terrible ridicule. Listen, the sheer numbers. He took that for you over and over and over. Hey, guys, can you imagine that? Hey, guys, one thing happens to us that's unjust and we throw a fit about it. One thing. I don't deserve that. You think he did? And a lot of times, let's be honest about it. I'll get to this in the next point as well. A lot of times, we don't have the capability to really react and do anything about it. We'll make a bunch of noise and get all hot and sweaty, hot and bothered, you know. But you didn't do nothing, you know.
Yeah.
We're all about that. Boy, you know, you're telling your friends, man, if you didn't hold me back, you know, like, stop it. What were you going to do? You know, you want to tell your friends, yeah, if I didn't hold you back, you'd get your face punched out. You know, like, let's be honest. No, man, I'll take him down. Take him down where? Downstairs? Like, well, come on. Come on. Let's be honest about this. The terrible ridicule. Guys, he took it over and over. But guys, every slap, every punch, every having somebody spit on you, he took it. He took it. He took it. And guys, he had the capability to do something about it. Point number three, the tremendous restraint.
Yes.
Hey guys, get this. Go back to verse 63, all right? It says, and the men that what? Come on. And the men that
held
Jesus. Can I tell you, that's laughable right there.
Yeah.
They held Jesus. They held him. You say, Brother Tom, what's the big deal about that? He has all power. He created everything. He's almighty. No one has more strength than him. No one has more power than him.
Right.
Guys, it says the men that held Jesus. Yeah, okay, whatever. No, you didn't. Guys, Yeah, right. You can't hold him back. He held himself back.
Amen. Right. Yeah.
It says the men that held Jesus, they didn't hold Jesus. They're kidding themselves. He held himself back. Guys, I want you to consider his capabilities. The Bible says that he is the creator. Jesus is the creator. John 1:3. He made all things, and without him was not anything made that was made. Mm-hmm. Guys, everything that we see, Jesus made it. Mm-hmm. Everything. He is the creator. He's the one in charge. Back in the book of Daniel, it talks about that all the world is reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven amongst the inhabitants of the earth. And then it says this, none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You know what it's saying? Nobody can stop God.
Right.
If God's going to put forth his hand to do a certain action, nobody can hold him back and say, no, no, God. Nobody can do that. No one can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Nobody can hold him back. And guys, the Bible tells us not only is he the creator, he made everything. He's in control. He's in charge. But guys, this whole world holds together. It consists by him. Colossians 1:17. By him, all things consist. You know what that means? He holds together everything.
Yeah.
He holds together everything. Everything in this universe is held together by our God. Hey, guys. And they held him back? Yeah, right. No, you didn't.
Right.
You consider his capabilities, guys. This is the God we're talking about. The tremendous restraint. He held it back. He could have done. Guys, listen. We know. But if he wanted to, he could have thought to destroy these guys and they would have disappeared.
Yeah.
Gone. Vaporized. What happened to that soldier? What happened to that guard? He's gone. He's not coming back. He could have, but he didn't. But guys, he took it. He took it. He took it. And he took it all. He didn't have to, but he took it for us. Hey guys, if Jesus would have responded back like we're talking about, he couldn't have been our Savior. He took it right then and there. He took it all. And he didn't have to, guys. And sometimes you think, well, I mean, Brother Tom, was this really necessary? I mean, what he had to do to save us was get on the cross, shed his blood, all that, right? Take the nails and the crown of thorns and all. But was this really necessary? Guys, can I tell you everything that he took, it was necessary. That's why it happened. It's not over dramatics. It's not a guilt trip. It's not just to get some sympathy from people and down through the ages, people would feel bad for him. That's not the point of it all. Guys, he took it because he had to pay for our sins. Guys, he did it for us. The twisted reality, the terrible ridicule, the tremendous restraint. And then point number four, this, the touching reason. Guys, we go through here and we read about all that he went through. He was mocked. Hey guys, he was mocked for you. They smote him. They hit him. They slapped him. Can I tell you, they did all that and it was for you.
Yeah.
They blindfolded him, struck him on the face and making this big joke of him. And then many other things they did, and they blasphemed him and spake against him and treated him all kinds of nasty ways. Why? Hey guys, he did it for us. He did it all for you. Hey guys, the meaning for it all, you've heard these verses, but the meaning for it all was for us. Listen, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, the greatest display, guys, of God's love for us is Jesus hanging on the cross. Listen, sometimes it frustrates me a little bit when we hear these people and I say, Brother Tut, I wish God would just show me that he loves me. I wish he would just show me some kind of sign. I wish I would just walk outside and I'd see a clear sky. I'd see sometimes you see the rays of light coming through the clouds. That looks pretty cool, right? You're like, can I see into heaven? No, that's not heaven, all right? But listen, I just wish I could see that. I could just go outside and see a rainbow. Can I tell you, that's foolish. I heard, I'm not trying to slap people around, but I heard this one person one time. He said, I walked outside and I just saw this frog. And I knew God did that for me. And I'm thinking. Can I tell you that's really foolish? Because we're looking in all these crazy places and coming up with all these wacky things and saying, see, this shows God loves me. Can I tell you, he proved it once and for all when he got up on the cross and died for you? Mm-hmm. Guys, that's it. When that verse in Romans 5:8 says, in that, you know what it's saying? The greatest picture of God's love is right in this. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. It's saying, there it is, right there. That's the snapshot of his love, right there. The meaning is for us. Guys, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Jesus said that, and he said that about himself. That's the greatest love there is. This was all part of it, guys. What he went through. Hey, guys, he did this for you. Hey. Young man in here today, you say, I don't really care about this. Listen, he went through all this for you, young man. For you. The meaning is because he loved you. And guys, can I tell you this was misplaced torture and torment? Hey, can I tell you this mocking and this smiting and this being blindfolded and striking and the blasphemy and all the things they hurled at him, the cussing, the mocking, and all the horror that he went through? Can I tell you that's what we deserved in a place called hell for eternity? That's what we deserved. He took it for us so we don't have to. Hey, guys. Can I tell you, in hell, you would have been suffering constantly. Yeah. There wouldn't have been a moment you could have gotten away. You couldn't have got any relief. Can I tell you, in hell, there's no timeouts?
Right.
Can I tell you, in hell, there's no taking breaks?
Yeah.
Can I tell you, in hell, there's no, can I get some water real quick? I'm kind of struggling over here. That's not how it works in hell. The Bible talks about in Revelation, day and night, those people are tormented. Day and night! Mm-hmm. You know what that tells me? There's no breaks.
Yeah.
There's no getting a breather. You okay there? There's nothing of the sort. Listen, it's the wrath of God. It's a place of horror. Guys, it's a place of torment. And that's what we deserve because of your sins and my sins. But thank God we have a Savior that took this for us. Can I tell you, Tim, we look at these verses. Hey, Jesus doesn't look too powerful here. But can I tell you, he hadn't lost any of his power. He was just holding it back. Hey, but by the way, this side issue, okay? But can I tell you, you're not a big man because you lash out at people. You're not a big man because somebody says something to you and you start cussing them a blue streak. You're not a big man by that.
Right.
Hey, in Proverbs it talks about a man that doesn't have any restraint. He's like a city that doesn't have any walls. Can I tell you, anything that works its way into your life, you're just going to blow up. That's not being a man. Yeah. That's being out of control. They need to put you in a cage because we don't know what you're going to do. Okay? Yeah. Guys, being a man sometimes is, you may be angry about something, but plenty of times, you know the right thing to do? Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Ask God to guide you. Ask God to direct your steps so you don't... Hey, there's a lot of times that things happen to me and I don't like how it happens, but that doesn't mean I just need to lash back at that person. Mm-hmm. There's some people you just want to get out of their way. It's like... There's no reason for you to be mad at me, but I can already tell you're going to be mad at somebody today. So just keep on going, you know? Don't bother me. Just keep on going, man. Well, so I know driving around, you see them wackos driving 90 and everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I do? Just go by. Just go by. Just don't deal with me. And that's how some people are in their lives.
Yeah.
Man, they're just waiting for somebody to yell at, waiting for somebody to go off on. Hey, guys, that's not being a man. Listen, Bible talks about we need to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Hey, that doesn't sound real macho nowadays, but that's being a good Christian. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The tremendous restraint that Jesus had. He held it back, and the touching reason for it all. Guys, it was for you. It was because he loved you. This was all part of it. And this was misplaced torture and torment that he went through. It should have been us in hell that were taking similar things to this. Mm-hmm. And guys, this should be a motivation for us. Hey guys, can I tell you why you should be at church every week? Because Jesus loved you like this.
Amen.
Can I tell you why you should read your Bible every day? Because you should love Jesus. Hey, we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
Kevin, when I read stuff like this, that he did all this for me, are you kidding me? Going to church, that's easy.
Right.
That's nothing.
Right.
That's very small after all that he went through. I mean, Tim, if I was in his place... and some idiot punches me and I have all power, that would be tough to hold it back.
Yeah.
I'd be like, boy, he didn't even need to take the blindfold off. Yeah, he knew exactly who was hitting him. He'd say, boy, I'll tell you how many number of hairs you got on your head. The guys over there, really? You know. Listen, that would be hard to hold it back, guys. He could have said, boy, you know, you just slapped me. You know what I could do to you? He could list out all these things. I'm sorry, sir. You know, I love that with teenagers. You know, you get on them and they change their tune really quick before it's like, come on, man. Then you get on them, they're like, okay, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, at least we're learning. Right? We're moving in the right direction. Guys, the touching reason. This should be our motivation. Guys, that's why we should serve him. Hey, guys, can you, listen, can we
read this, preach through this, hear this, think about it, and it has no effect on your life? Hello? Does it have no effect on your life whatsoever? Hey, there may be a guy sitting in this room not saved. You don't know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven. You're dropping stuff in the middle of class. No, I'm kidding.
That's
all right. Don't worry about it. Listen, you may be sitting here. You don't know for sure that when you die, where you're going. Can I tell you, what are you waiting for? Mm-hmm. He took all that for you. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you don't know how to be saved, we'll tell you today. But if you know and you're just doing nothing with it, what's taking so long? What's the deal? Why are we hesitating? Listen, he took all that for you. And all you got to do is accept his gift. That's easy. Guys, after all that he took for us, coming to church is easy. After all that he did for us, me reading my Bible every day, taking some time to meet with him and have him direct my life, that's easy. That's a privilege. That's an honor to do that. Guys, us going out there on Thursday nights, Ethan, and talking to people, and some people don't want to hear it, and some people don't want to come to church and all that. Listen, it frustrates me sometimes, but can I tell you, that is nothing in comparison to what Jesus took for me.
Right.
And listen, guys, that's the least I can do. The Bible talks about it's our reasonable service. Hey, I'm glad for you showing up today, but when you show up to church, don't think you did anything big.
Yeah.
Don't strain your shoulder by patting yourself on the back because, man, I came. I could have been at home. Well, yeah, I understand that. But you know what? You should be here.
Amen.
After all that he's done for us, and it's not because of me or because of the leadership here. You should do it for Jesus.
Right.
After all that he's done for you. Hey, ask yourself this. After all that he's done for you, what do you need to do for him?
Mm-hmm.
And ask him that. Say, Lord, what do I need to do for you?
Right.
We love him because he first loved us. The Bible talks about, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You know, God can only be merciful to us because of what Jesus took for us. Hey, guys, when God's merciful to us, Brother Todd, I've heard him talk about this. It's not that God just sweeps it under the rug and forgets about it. Can I tell you the only reason God can be merciful to us is because Jesus already took the punishment for us in our place? Therefore, he can be merciful to us. Thank God for this. Hey, yes, God's gift is a free gift, but it does cost.
Yes.
And it cost Jesus everything. Don't forget that. It's free to us, but it was not. It was a high price that he paid. Bible talks about we're bought with a price. You know what that price is? The blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's why you should serve him. And guys, last thing I'll say, that's why you should be mentally tough. The Bible talks about Hebrews 12:3. Write that verse down, Hebrews 12:3. Look it up at some point. It's a very, very strong verse. It says, for consider him, consider Jesus. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And then it says this, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You know what it's saying, guys? Look up here. It's saying you think about Jesus and you think about all the cruelty that he went through, all the opposition, all the hatred, all the venom that they just unleashed on him. They hated him and all that he went through. And you realize that he did it for you. And then you know what it says? Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Hey, guys. When you've been serving God for a while and you get tired and you get worn out and you get weary and you start thinking, is it worth it anymore? Remember what he did for you. Consider him. Yeah. Hey, guys, when you feel like, man, it's not worth it anymore. By the way, you're about to go into school. You're about to get back into the routine. Listen, can I tell you, you're probably not going to have youth conferences because those are mostly in the summer. You're not going to have a lot of these trips.
Right.
Hey, and what happens when you go to school? Can I tell everybody in the room what's going to happen? You're going to show up at your school, whatever that school is, and there's going to be some people there that don't want to do right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And for some of you, it's most of the people there, if not all the people there.
Huh.
Can I tell you? What are you going to do about it?
Right.
Are you going to worry about what they think? Or are you going to consider him?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to consider what he did for you. By the way, when you walk down the hallways of your school, you need to realize Jesus still did this for you.
Right.
It doesn't change the fact just because you walk into a different building, just because you're around a different group of people. Listen, he still did this for you. And Brother Tut, it should affect us everywhere we go, not just in church. When we're at work, when we're at school, when we're in our neighborhood, when we're at home, everywhere we go and everything we do, it should affect us. If not, we would be in hell right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Guys, does it affect you? Mm. It should be our motivation, and we should be mentally tough. Hey, guys, where's the loyalty? Where's the loyalty? Listen, I'm not trying to bang on anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. Listen, but we have, especially, let me say this, especially amongst guys, young adult guys, I feel like we're so fickle.
The easiest, the smallest little thing, Brother Tut, and people just quit like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it bothers me. And listen, I'm not better than anybody. I'm weak. I can fall. I understand that.
Right.
But where's the loyalty? Guys, we live in a day and age. One person says something about us and we're out.
I'm not going back to that church.
You're not doing that against the pastor. You're not stabbing him in the back. Can I tell you, you're doing that against Jesus.
Right.
You're doing that against him after all that he's done for us. Listen, guys, it can't be that way. Where's the loyalty? Let's have some mental toughness. Hey, I'm not advocating and saying it's okay when people say harsh things to you. I don't like it when people do things in a harsh way and they hurt people. There's no need for that. We get that. But listen, guys, if that happens to you, realize Jesus didn't do that to you, number one. And realize in spite of what odds we face and what troubles hit our lives, he's still worthy of us living for him.
Right.
You hear that? He's still worthy of it. Be mentally tough. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Hey, what happens when your best friend stops coming to church? What about you? What happens when someone that used to always be nice to you, one time they make a comment and you don't really like it? Are you out? Are you rolling out? Hey, guys, it shouldn't be because of that. Our Christian life needs to go so much deeper than that. It needs to be more direct than that. It needs to be between me and the Lord. Hey, guys, people should be nice to you around here. They should treat you in a good way. And we endeavor and try our best to do that. But can I tell you, we're humans. We're going to mess up. We're all sinful. But can I tell you, God's never done you wrong.
Right.
Hey, guys, don't you quit on him. You know, on that cross, guys, they continued with their mocking. They continued saying, hey, if you're the Savior, why don't you save yourself? You say you have all power, then show it. Come on, get down. Can I tell you, he didn't quit on you, guys. Don't you quit on him. Don't quit on him, guys. You say, well, what I'm doing may not be that important. You living for God is important.
Yeah.
And whatever you're doing, don't you quit on him. Listen, I'll finish up with this. Brother Tut, we've seen a lot of people walk away from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you, when you do that, you're not primarily doing that to me. You're not doing that just to your parents. You're not doing that just to the pastor, your leaders, your mentors, and all that. Although those people are affected, and you're stabbing them in the back. But can I tell you, ultimately, you're doing that to Jesus.
Yes.
You are walking away from him.
Yes.
That is a big problem. Should not be. Should not be, young man. Let's be mentally tough. Hey, I get it. Do discouragements come in the Christian life? Oh, yeah. Is it hard at times? Is it a grind sometimes? Absolutely. Is it difficult? Are there things that hit your life and you don't know what to do? Absolutely, guys.
Mm-hmm.
But can I tell you, he'll help you through each step of that if you'll go to him. And number two, I want to be loyal to him.
Amen.
Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. You know what it's saying? When I go through difficulties and Ethan, I don't feel like doing it anymore. You know what pushes me to keep going? His love for me.
Good.
I think about what he did for me and it urges me and pushes me to keep on going for him. Guys, that's the way it needs to be.
Yes.
That's the way it needs to be. Listen, let's be mentally tough. If necessary, let's take some of the tough things for him because of what he did and what he took for you and for me. Hey, guys, I read these verses. Makes me mad. It upsets me. They mock him. They strike him. They blindfold him. Do all that. They blaspheme him. They do all this stuff. It shouldn't be like this. He went through terrible ridicule and he held himself back. They held Jesus. You didn't hold him back. He held himself back.
Amen.
But guys, at the end of it, he did it for you and
right.
He did it for me. Hey guys, I look at these verses, you know what I think? He took that for you.
Yeah.
Now, what are we going to do for him? Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for these guys.